welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, back on our Thursday evening schedule that we'll have for most of the rest of the season, the first two weekends or weeks of the season on Wednesdays to Bearcat football on Thursday night. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Tritton, and we got another good show lined up for tonight as we talk Bearcat sports. We'll hear from Northwest women's soccer coach Tracy Hosa, couple players off of her team, Danielle Wolf and Taylor Wolf. Also, Northwest football coach Rich Wright and player off his squad, Cole Forney, will join us. And Matt, we might even have an appearance from Bearcat tennis coach Mark Rosewell. He's got a tournament on campus this weekend. He said he might be by and say hi. So
it's always a pleasant surprise, right? Getting Rosie in.
That is. You never know where he's going to pop up. Tell you what, though, we're coming off another good week of Bearcat sports. The football team went down to Topeka last Thursday night, came back with a win against Washburn, and really a hard-fought victory for the Bearcat team.
Yeah, I think that's one that maybe some Bearcat fans look at the final score and get a little bit nervous, but I think you're going up against probably an underrated Washburn team, a strong defense, obviously. Coach Wright was preaching how physical they were going into the week. And so to come out and pull out a win like that is big, not only a level of beating a physical team like that for your first road contest, but also on top of that, we went until the national semifinal game last year until we really saw a true tough game for Northwest Missouri State football. You wondered how they'd respond. So to get that out of the way in week two, I think that's important for these guys, especially the younger guys that are playing, to go in and late in the season, into the playoffs, they know if they can overcome any obstacles because they had a game like that in week two.
I think one of the keys to that game, too, we saw a lot of young guys on the defensive line that had to step up due to some injuries to the starters that came in and performed very well against a very good Washburn team.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I think there were some nerves going in about that, too, because the collective starting defensive line had to combine one start, and that was Austin Eskew in week one of this season. So it was a group with not a lot of experience going into it. I think without guys like Ben Spaeth, Bobby Grunlow, and Caleb Mather up in your front four, there are some concerns of how those guys would come out and how they would play. But Coach Wright does a phenomenal job with getting these guys prepared. And I think that they see how these seniors carry themselves, and it makes it that much easier whenever they go out and do their own business. And like I said, they held a physical Washburn team in check, and that's huge for them going forward, especially the depth that you build now once you get these seniors back of you got to give them a break in a big game. You're not too worried about it because you've seen what they can do.
Yeah, obviously you want to go in full strength in a game like against Washburn, but come out with a win, you're a little bit better off because those young guys got that experience.
Yeah, it's all about getting wins but building depth at the same time. And I think that's something that we saw a lot throughout the Coach Churchman era of even on some of those wins that you're getting by a big margin, you're getting some important playing time there. Well, it continues here with Adam Doyle's head coach, now Rich Wright as head coach. Not only the wide point spread wins of those guys getting meaningful reps, but they're getting meaningful reps in a game that you win by six on the road. So it's about building depth, and this is only going to benefit them down the road.
It's going to be another big weekend of activity with Northwest Fall Sports. Volleyball team already on the road. They're over in Quincy, Illinois, competing in a tournament hosted by the Quincy University. You've got soccer, which will be down in St. Joe tomorrow as they face Missouri Western, then back home Sunday with Central Missouri. Oddly enough, those games won't count on the conference schedule. They'll play them again later where it does count on the conference schedule, and Tracy will talk more about that a little bit later. Of course, Bearcat football on the road to Kearney. You've got the tennis on campus. It's going to be a very busy weekend coming up.
Busy week and exciting week. We're trying to track everything and see what's going on with everybody. Volleyball bounced back in a big way last week. Got a few wins on the tournament there, and so excited to see what they can do. As you mentioned, already on the road. I mean, this is going to be an interesting week for soccer too. Going up against 24th ranked Missouri Western, number fourth ranked Central Missouri as well. And like you mentioned, you get a taste of those teams now. You kind of get that experience of playing some top ranked teams. And you know what? Depending on, no matter what the outcome is, you get to face them down the road again, too. So that'll be good, especially for some of these younger players to get in some of those big environments and find out how to play in those games. And tennis, you got Coach Rosie. You know it's always going to come out and be a competitive, successful team. And then exciting, too, it's tough to see the Bearcat football team on the road once again, but you want to see them go out there, get a big win against UNK before coming back home next weekend.
We've got a big show on hand, as I talked about, and we'll be coming back in a bit and hearing from Tracy Hosa, the head coach of the Northwest soccer team. A reminder, though, that the KXTV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the support comes from the student body, Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Center Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dining or carryout. More at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll talk with the head coach of the Northwest soccer team, Tracy Hosa. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXTV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
At Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville. The Memory Care Program offers residents emotional and social support, art, music, pet therapies, and more. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing customers with sales, design, service, and installation of surveillance and security systems for homes and business, as well as paging and public address systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back into the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW, live from the Carson Sports Grill. Matt Tritton now being joined by the Northwest Missouri State head soccer coach, Tracy Hosa. And coach, first appearance of the year. Glad to have you on. Just what you want, a little bit of radio, a little bit of camera action as well.
Lovely. Glad I put makeup on for today. Just came home from practice and did a quick wipe, and now we're here. But
just as long as you get here, that's all we care about.
Exactly.
So we're great to, it's great to have you here. And 1-1 on the season. Before we dive too much into previous game action, what you have coming up as well. 15 seasons now as a Bearcat. What's that mean to you? Can you believe? Time's flying. Blowing pretty fast, hasn't it?
It does fly. And I think it gets even quicker every year as you go on. But what does it mean? You know, you look at the video that Andrew Sherry did last night, and it's a family. It's just walking back into work today. It was like my arm is just tired because I was lifting it every time. But then I thought about how thankful are you to be in a place like this.
Definitely. And you know, I think at times the once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat thing for people that aren't around here, they kind of wave it off, don't really care much about it. But if you're actually at Northwest, student, athlete, coach, it means a whole lot.
I think it's every student, and even, you know, Dr. Matt Baker is down there. He's probably not listening, but he was my first neighbor, and you just become friends straight away. And you know, I didn't know at the time that he worked at Northwest, and you know, it's just the whole town that embraces, and it embraces the culture, and it embraces athletics, and it, you know, it embraces music, it embraces everything. It's what you do. We embrace things.
15 years is a long time. A lot of things have changed throughout Maryville. The recruiting trail, have things changed a little bit the way you talk with players, acquire players, and just the way trends kind of change over the years too?
Oh, absolutely. You look at Facebook, you look at Twitter, and you look at texting, and those are the things that the athletes are using, and those are the things that we use too. You know, when I was recruited, we didn't have a phone in my house. I had to go to my sister's house, and I had to bike up 3 miles and set a time 3 weeks in advance. I'll see you on this day. I'll call you.
How did you get hold of friends? Can't call them? Can't text them?
They live next door, or, you know, you met them downtown. You walk downtown and say, hey, what are you doing? Okay, I'll see you at this time. that's what you did. Yeah, you did something in person.
Yeah.
But a lot of it now is not in person. A lot of it is on the internet and on text and on Twitter and emails to I think we've gone a little bit away from emails, that texting is the way to go. That's a big thing with the recruiting term.
And it has changed a lot. It's much different, that's to say the least. But we're talking Bearcat soccer with Northwest Missouri State head coach Tracy Hosa. Started the year off with a 2-1 win over Sioux Falls. Picked up both of those goals in the second half. Taylor Wolf, Molly Holtman picking up both of those, a freshman and a sophomore. And just rewinding back to the first match, seeing a couple underclassmen come in and take on a big role like that and put the ball in the back of the net. What was it like for you to see your team come away with a win like that and kind of get a glimpse into the future of those two?
To get a win was great. And then you look at what players are doing, what, you know, you have a freshman like Taylor scoring and very composed and confident in front of the ball. And you have Molly, who actually still is technically a freshman. And you're very happy and proud of Molly coming off of a year, having to redshirt that year and work hard in the spring. What we looked at was they both came off the bench. So their attitude off the bench was to go and do better. And that's what we enjoyed seeing, that and the camaraderie within the team to see players coming off the bench and doing better and encouraging them to do better.
You spoke on this before too, but those are two players that are also little sisters on the team. What was the dynamic like too of seeing Danielle and Cassie react to Taylor and Molly come up with such big goals?
They were absolutely thrilled. You know, we saw them jump off and just beaming with each other, and they were very proud of each other. And because sometimes there can be jealousy, and there can be jealousy within teams and jealousy with sisters, but they were absolutely proud of each other, and they know that they have each other's back, and that was, I think, that's something that's very admirable.
Whenever you go in to recruit players and you see an older sister come out and play well and there's a younger sister coming up, you know she's going to be pretty good. What's the dynamic of recruiting the younger sister? Do you talk to the older sister and make sure there's no bad blood or anything to where you'd want to bring the second one in too?
You know, it's like everything else. You have to adapt and see. Whether or not the sisters didn't get along wouldn't have been my reason not to bring someone on board, because yes, opinions are important, but also people need a chance. And just because, you know, I have seven sisters, you know, I actually get along with all of them, but I know there's two or three that they don't get along at all. But you know, that never came across. They actually were very supportive. Danny was very supportive of Taylor, and Cassie was very supportive of Molly, and we see that in games too and in practice. So we got a sense of they supported each other. And you know, they're not the only sisters. They're the sisters that actually played at the same time. We've had Kelly and Krista Oberle, and we currently have Ashton Dudovic, and we had Jackie, who was a captain back in 2008, I think. So we've had sisters, but I don't think we've had sisters play, and we don't think we've had four on the same team.
Well, fast forwarding up after the win over Sioux Falls, come back to the match against Rockhurst, a 3-1 loss. That one starts out, you get a goal from Danielle in the second half, you go up 1-0, defensively playing good. Whenever you see Rockhurst come up, what changed defensively there in that second half? They were able to overcome Northwest.
I think we got in an attacking mode. We actually held possession quite well. And then what we always say as coaches is that, you know, we don't pinpoint one mistake. Goals are scored when five mistakes happen, and you can trace all of those back. And it was a lack of, we didn't keep our composure within the defensive side of pressure and cover and balance. And we tend to, we started ball watching instead of being slowing the ball down, and then we regroup and we regather. And if we don't slow the ball down, we don't slow the match down on the defensive side, everything will happen too quick. So what we need to do is slow the ball down, and then we can cover and we can balance and we can assess the situation.
Is that just a part of the maturation process for some of the younger players getting out there? Because there are quite a few underclassmen getting some playing time.
Well, we do. I mean, and particularly in the midfield and the forward, our back is a little senior heavy, but It is a matter of, that's one of the biggest things that freshmen need to learn when they come in, and I've heard it in the Division One, and I've heard announcers on ESPN and on the SEC channel, that the biggest thing that they have to learn is to defend, and even the forwards need to learn to defend, and it's a hard thing to do, and it's a disciplined thing to do, and that's it, when it works out, it's magic.
On the offensive side, averaging just over 19 shots per game, 9 shots on goal per game, 3 goals to show for it through the first 2 matches early in the season. But do you like what you're getting and some of the shots you're taking?
I believe we can do better. And we worked on it a lot this week, and we still have a lot more work in it. It's putting away our opportunities and being more decisive. Whether once we make all the work up, we go and we just hit it to the keeper. Where, you know, we got to now place it and we got to keep it low and start being a little bit more precise and a little bit more aggressive. You know, we do want to see some more goals.
Is that a little bit too of once you get mid-season, you think that kind of comes around, knock up a little bit of rust too?
I think so, and I think once you get a taste for one, you'll want another one. You know, that's a big thing.
Yeah, and yeah, get a couple goals and it's going to pile on top. Big weekend.
Yeah.
A couple non-conference matches with a couple conference teams.
Yes.
First, number 24, Missouri Western, then number 4, Central Missouri on Sunday, both 4-0, both top 25. You see the challenge ahead. What are you hoping to come away with this weekend, other than a pair of wins, of course?
You know, we actually started off with Rockhurst, and they're always in the NCAA playoffs, and we want to see what Missouri Western and UCM can bring on and what we can do against them. How do we match up against them?
Offensively, Missouri Western averaging 4.5 goals per match, and they're a program that's been on the rise, ranked for the first time, and Coach Edwards kind of has them going down the right path. Do you slow that one down a little bit, try to give them as few scoring opportunities as possible?
Well, that would be our main objective, obviously. We don't want to give them scoring options, so we'll try and take away that key, take away that ball that's been passed to them. If we can control it in the midfield and give it to our forwards, and we'll hold on to possession a little bit longer, deny them having the ball, which is obviously what we're going to have to do.
What are you looking forward to out of Central Missouri as well?
I think they're very similar to Western, kind of watching both of them and scouting both of them. They're, you know, they're a little bit stronger, but I'm curious to see how we come out against them.
Is that one of those that it's kind of a measuring stick? You see how you perform early in the season, and of course you get to see them a little later on too.
Well, we get to see Central the following week, and there's a good thing and there's a bad thing about it. The good thing is we get to see them, you know, get it over and done with within 2 weeks. The bad thing is we get to see them within another week. But it is. I mean, it's for this team, we want to see how we pair up against, you know, right now Central are top, and so are Western.
And moving forward, I mentioned before, you've got 5 seniors starting. You've got 6 underclassmen. How's everything meshing? Is this kind of, you see success coming later this year, but things are also building pretty well for future seasons too?
Oh, absolutely. We watch, you know, last night in practice, we had it was either a good one or a bad one, because some of our non-starters were doing excellent. And then we're like, okay, well, this person is going to go in there, and now we're going to give this person, a freshman, an opportunity to get in tomorrow. And it's good to see that they're pushing. And they're pushing in a positive way.
All right, Coach. Missouri Western on Friday, Central Missouri on Sunday. Good luck. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That is Tracy Hoza, Northwest Missouri State head soccer coach, 1-1 on the season. They have number 24 Missouri Western and number 4 Central Missouri coming up later this weekend. We'll take a quick break, and we'll return with more Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Heinlein provides furniture and flooring for every room in the house, as well as mattresses. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are back talking soccer. And when they talk about Northwest being a big family and all the sports being a family affair, we really have that on the soccer team with Danielle and Taylor Wolf, who are sisters on this team. And first of all, Danielle, let's just talk a little bit about playing with your sister and what this means.
I really enjoy it. We did in high school, and it was fun. It's just kind of a different feeling having your actual sister on the team.
And Taylor, just talk a little bit about having your sister here and what that means to you.
I love it. It's nice to know someone coming into college and knowing about the university coming in.
And I guess, first of all, Daniel, just talk about what brought you to Northwest and coming to campus and what that meant to you and bringing you to the Northwest campus. What initially brought you here?
I really didn't know anyone coming to school here, but right as I visited, I just knew I loved it, and I just loved the town and the atmosphere, and I was excited to come, and I've loved it ever since.
And having your sister here, that mean a little bit as far as coming in on the campus here?
Yeah, it was definitely nice to have someone here that I knew, and she loved it, so.
And any rivalry right now between the two of you as you take to the field every day or anything?
Not really. I mean, we're both forward, so. I mean, we both want to score.
Coming to Northwest from Olathe, Kansas, again, a little bit of a difference between the two communities, but overall, you like the change coming to Maryville?
Yeah, it's different, but I do like the small town feel, and it's just the communities involved, and it is different, but I've enjoyed it.
What about this year's team? I know I hear a lot of good things from the coaches and people involved with the program that there's a really good vibe to this group. How would you compare this year to previous years?
It does feel different this year. We had a really strong freshman class coming in, and we had a great off season last year, and everyone seems in shape and is positive, and just a different vibe in a good way this year.
And coming in as a freshman, what are some of the things you noticed about being a part of this program?
It seems like everyone knows each other, and it's nice that everyone kind of motivates everyone, no matter what sport you're in.
And as you look toward this weekend, a couple big games coming up. They're non-conference games, which won't count obviously on the conference schedule, but a good opportunity to kind of see what two pretty good programs have in Missouri Western and Central Missouri.
Yeah, it'll be a tough weekend. Both teams are really good, but it'll be good competition for us and get us prepared for conference.
You're looking forward to seeing Missouri Western and as well as Central this weekend?
Yes, I'm super excited.
And let's talk a little bit about off the field and your studies. And where are you first of all, Danielle, tell us a little bit about what you're looking for as far as studying off the field.
I'm majoring in chemistry, and I've actually just applied to dental school. So hopefully attending some dental school in the Midwest next year.
All right. And Taylor, what are your studies?
My major is agricultural business. I'm not completely sure where I want to go into it, but I probably will go into sales.
All right. Well, looks like you've got a big weekend coming up, and hopefully some good things ahead for both of you this season.
Thank you.
All right. We've been talking with Danielle Wolf and Taylor Wolf with us from the Northwest Missouri State Women's Soccer Team. When we come back, we'll squeeze in a little bit of tennis here as the head coach of the Northwest tennis team is on hand tonight as well, Mark Rosewell. He's got a tournament coming up this weekend, and we'll talk to Mark right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter Agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware and custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through the ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we turn our attention now to tennis, Mark Rosewell is with us, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's and women's tennis teams. And, Mark, busy weekend coming up for you. You have an opportunity to test out those new tennis courts with a big tournament coming up this weekend.
Yeah, John, we're really excited about having the tournament this weekend. We really haven't hosted a tournament in quite some years. You know, we used to do that ITA one every year, but then the tournament really got too big for us, and we put the two genders together, and we had to go where it was more course. So we're really excited about it.
And talk about who you got coming in this weekend.
Well, we're going to have six teams, three men's teams and three women's. Along with us, it will be Southwest Baptist, our arch rivals, and Washburn University. So really, maybe the three, you know, very successful teams in the league.
How excited are you to be able to use those new courts?
You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, I mean, it's going to make things so much easier. And they're really being used so far. I just came from the courts. You know, we practiced there earlier today, and the high school was playing their match over there today, and we had intramurals going on a couple days ago, so they really did them right. We're really thankful and appreciative of it.
And I know you'd like to have some people head over and take in some tennis this weekend. Give us about the times and opportunity for fans of tennis in the Maryville area to come out and watch your teams play.
Yeah, we're going to be there all day Friday and Saturday pretty much, and we're even going to be using the high-rise courts on Friday some for consolation matches and some extra feed-in matches and so forth. But we'll start play at 10, and we'll probably go till, oh boy, 7:30 in there. So we're going to be there, all right.
And your team's coming off a trip to Springfield last weekend down in as Drury hosted an event. Talk a little bit about how things went last weekend.
Pretty good, John. It was Drury, us, and Washington University. So again, three good teams. Drury's usually a top 10 to 15 team in the country. And Wash U, you know, they've won national championships at Division III. I thought our men played real well last week for a young team and so forth. And our women's team was playing very well there, too.
Well, it's a fun time, isn't it?
It is. We're really excited about this weekend, that's for sure, in the courts.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us.
Okay, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell. Again, he's got a tournament coming up this weekend on the Northwest campus all day tomorrow and Saturday. An opportunity to get out and see the new courts and see the Bearcat tennis teams as they have a couple good teams coming in Washburn and Southwest Baptist. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to football as Rich Wright, the head coach of the Northwest football team, is with us. We'll talk with Rich right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from your local family-owned Orsland Farm and Home, with more than 30 stores throughout the region. Orsland provides customers with the tools and materials necessary for jobs on the farm, in the garage, or at home. More information at OrslandFarmHome.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Time now to turn our attention to football, and Rich Wright joins us, head coach of the Northwest football team. And Rich, coming off a nice road win this past Thursday night down in Topeka against Washburn.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought win, but we were able to endure. We did some really good things, and then also had some things that we needed to get corrected this week in practice. So, was happy with our kids' effort and the way we played, but there are some mistakes that have to be fixed.
Now, it's been a while since Northwest has had an MIAA game, especially early in the season, and it took them take four quarters to grind out. Is that a positive going forward for your team to have to go through that experience and build off of it?
I think it is. You know, again, it's just one of those things that's all a part of that growing process. We've got a lot of new kids. We've got a lot of kids that, you know, you talk to them about the MIAA and what it's like. You talk to them about that you're going to get everybody's best shot, and then you have to go experience it. And oftentimes that happens on the road. And it was a different kind of game. It was a different game than the Emporia State game. And so, you know, again, having to change your style a little bit and play a different type of team, and all those things are good lessons, particularly when you can come out with a win.
Well, you talk about a different type of game. It's not often you go into the locker room at halftime with a 5-0 game.
Yeah, I felt like it was a baseball score. So.
And the way that game started out, too, seemed to set the tone a little bit. Offensively, we had a nice drive down, got down on the 1 yard line, just couldn't punch it in. And then safety made it a 2-0 game right off the bat there. How did that sequence of things maybe change the complexion of the game early in that contest?
You know, the one thing that you got to look at, or at least that I look at as a head football coach, is our offense is moving the football. We had over 400 yards offense. And you know, that's a pretty good day at the office. And so... If you continue to, you know, foster some positive energy with those kids, sooner or later that's going to convert into points. And you just got to be a little bit patient. You know, everybody's trying to find their roles and find their identities a little bit on that side of the ball. And you can see as adjustments get made, they start to do some of those things. And defensively, we're used to those. You know, we're used to being in those situations. You know, they drove the ball, they got it on a long porch, and we were able to convert and get the safety. And once we get there, we feel like we're in control of the football game, and that's, you know, kind of where we want to be.
You have a team backed up to 1-2 yard line kind of like that. You have a general idea of what they're going to be coming at you with. You like your odds of winning that battle?
I do. It's usually either one of two things. They're either going to go play action and try and take a poke deep to get themselves out of there, or they're going to be conservative and run the football. And, you know, with the way that Washburn, you know, what we had seen the previous week, we felt like they were going to be conservative and run the football, so we kind of pinned our ears back and came after them.
Now, offensively, I think another thing you have to feel good about is just no turnovers on offense again.
Yeah, you know, again, you know, we may not be getting the production we want from a point total right now, but Zach's doing a great job of taking care of the ball. Our backs and receivers are doing a good job taking care of the ball. They're not putting us in bad situations to play from defensively, and we'll start to figure it out. I hate to try and compare teams and seasons because you can't. They're all each their own individual entity, but you know, in a lot of ways, the first couple games reminds me of 2015. It really does, where we had, you know, we came off that 14 team where we had a lot of veteran leadership, and then we turned into 15. We only had 16 years. We had a lot of new guys playing, and it took some time for the offense to kind of gel and get to the direction that they wanted to go. But, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that we're doing so many good things.
And whenever you look at what Zach did, comes out, 30 of 40 passing, 238 yards, a touchdown. John mentioned didn't turn the ball over, and he's throwing it at a pretty good clip to this point, 72.7% completion percentage, I should say, seventh in the nation. You got a guy like that that takes some shots deep. He's not turning the ball over. Makes it feel good. You have those high percentage passes coming out.
It really does. I mean, again, you start talking about the statistics, and it's funny. I get to the post game, and if we don't, you know, you don't win by 35 points, everybody's like, what's wrong? You know, he did some really good things, you know, and there's some stuff that we can build off of. And just moving forward each week, he'll start to gain more confidence. Early in the season, it's hard. And that's not an excuse. It just is, because you aren't really sure what defenses are going to do to you yet. As you get going in the season, the leopard tends to show its spots a little bit more, and there's less and less that they can hide. And we were surprised by as much 30 as Washburn played in the first half. And once we made some adjustments, you know, at halftime, we were able to change things around.
Yeah, it seemed like you were able to change things pretty quickly into the third quarter, too, when you got out there and got some things going with those adjustments.
Yeah, they did. You know, they put the ball on the perimeter a little bit more and got things out in space where we feel like we have good matchups than we did against Washburn, you know, trying to put their guys one-on-one against our skill people, and we were able to hurt them. The other piece is that, you know, I think sometimes people forget that running the football is a little bit like, you know, a boxing match and getting punched in the body. You know, it does the damage doesn't show up in the first or second round. It shows up in the later rounds. And you saw Cameron break off a long run. You saw Grove break off a long run. So sometimes that cumulative effect and controlling the football, and there's something to be said for that too.
The weapons that you have going forward, we talked about it a lot, but your running game, you have about mid 60, 70 yards for Grove and Wilcox. You have your two leading receivers, Sean Bain, 63 yards, 52 yards respectively, then so on down from there. A lot of guys getting in the act with good numbers, but nobody's blown it out of the water. That's tough for another team, putting it on tape and seeing that, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you look at it from my perspective, and it makes it difficult because I always like trying to find and identify people I can take away. When you disperse the ball like that, it's difficult to choose who to take away. You know, you kind of pick your poison a little bit, and you can't defend everybody with extra eyes. So you just kind of try and identify. And if the quarterback's doing what he should be doing, now he's exploiting those one-on-one matchups that he has with the remainder of our players.
Defensively, going into the game, you're a little bit concerned about the defensive line due to some injuries, but you had some guys that really came in and stepped up and gave you a good ball game.
They played hard. You know, I had three kids that had never started a college football game before, and then their backups really had very limited playing time, and they went out and they gutted through a win, and they were physical, and for the most part did a good job controlling the line of scrimmage. We gave up a couple vertical runs, but by and large, they did a really nice job of getting the ball to bounce. Did well in at least coming off the play action pass and getting in people's faces, and I was proud of them. I kind of needled them all week for a reason. I knew that we were going to be down a couple guys and tried to challenge them both through the media and in the locker room, and you know, those kids came out and they responded.
And as a team, 4 of 23 are opponents on third down so far. Kind of a big stat as far as your defense getting out the field. A young defensive line, how does that kind of play a role in what they're doing so far?
You know, it all goes hand in hand. It's our coverage trying to disrupt routes early, and then our pass rush trying to get there. And you guys know as well as anybody, we don't blitz a whole lot. We're trying to do it with our front four. We're trying to get to the quarterback's feet. And if we can disrupt timing and things with the with a lot of the spread attacks, we can make quarterbacks nervous. And our goal is 25% on third down. Our offense has a 50% goal on third down, so we're doing our end of it and getting ourselves off the field. And that's what we talk about controlling. You know, we control how much we play. If we keep getting the ball back to the offense and getting them opportunities, they're going to break through and score points.
Talk a little bit about your philosophy on blitzing. I know a couple weeks ago you went into a little detail with a lot of us just off to the side about that, but you don't like to blitz too much. So just explain the reasons behind that.
With the spread style attacks right now, they can outflank you in so many different ways. So to call a pre-snap blitz, you know, where I'm calling it from the sidelines before I can determine, you know, what formations are and how people are going to change. You see everybody at the line of scrimmage. They check with me. They move formations and do things, and it's just really difficult to blitz in early down and distances. So what we choose to do is we line up, we play with great leverage, and we really focus on our technique and try and play fast. If I can get you to third down, and now I can get you predictable, now I can come hunt, and that's what we like to do. Now I know what you're going to do. Now I can hedge my bets. Now you can only be in so many different looks, and now we can attack more aggressively.
Does that ever change a little bit whenever you see, you know, the previous Missouri Southern teams that like to go straight triple option, and you know they're going to put the ball on the ground 75% of the time? Does it change a little bit to where, you know what, it's not on tape, we can put it on tape to make someone else think, we'll throw a few exotic blitzes in there?
When we play against a triple team, we really get more simple, not less. I mean, we really, because everything's responsibility football, so if you take chances, you're really outflanked and outleveraged in those types of offenses. So we basically have a different package that we put in versus the triple option. When you're playing, you know, somebody like Harding or Missouri Southern historically or somebody like that. And so it's very specific that week where everybody's just truly doing a job. And then you just have little switch-ups as to who has the dive, who has the quarterback, and who has the pitch. And those are the modifications we make on defense. And then I act like a crazy man for 3 or 4 days.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a chess game between offense and defense and the different trends from year to year, isn't it, as far as trying to react to what offense wants to do? And
yeah, you know, really, and I'm sorry to believe I'm getting old, but, you know, you look in the 90s and where the passing game was with the West Coast-style offenses, and, you know, everybody was Bill Walsh disciples and Mike Holmgren disciples, and, you know, you had all these progressions, and quarterbacks are reading pass trees and looking, they have three different looks in every single snap. That's not the way it is right now. The ball is out of the gun. The ball is coming off quickly. So what we're trying to do is take away that first and second read, and if we do, we make quarterbacks very uncomfortable. And so what we try and do is mask what we're doing in the back end and be very multiple with what we're doing in the back end from a coverage concept standpoint, but be real aggressive in our push with our four. And then, you know, again, if I can get you to third down, now it allows me to get more multiple because now you're pigeonholed into what you can do.
Well, kind of looking forward. You have Nebraska Kearney coming up, back-to-back road games, a team that's a bit of an upset, I think, in week one when they had Missouri Western come down and beat them 14-3, but then Emporia State got right the next week by beating UNK 45-13. What do you expect when you see the Lopers on tape?
You know, the one thing I noticed right away is Coach has their kids playing hard. You know, they believe they got to win early. I think that always helps, but you know, it's a new scheme. It's a new philosophy. They're running some option concepts on offense. You know, and that makes them different. You know, and in this league right now, offensively, there's a lot of people running the spread. So anytime you can be a little bit different, you create problems for defensive coordinators because you've only got 3 days to prepare for it. And so I think that's good for them. On the other side of the football, they're doing a lot of stuff defensively. They're blitzing a lot. They're taking some chances. They're trying to disrupt looks, and that can also bode well for a new group, you know, particularly early in the season.
Well, you look at Nebraska Kearney's defense. It really appears that they've done a very good job of stopping the run right now. First in the conference, only allowing about 54 yards per game on the ground.
Yeah, and they're throwing a lot at you. You know, a lot. They're running some 3-3 stack, and they're blitzing people in gaps. And, you know, again, early in the season, when you don't have a lot of tape, it's hard to go through and see what somebody's doing. as the season progresses, we'll start to see how that holds up, you know, when offenses start to figure them out a little bit. But they've done a good job the first 2 weeks of confusing people in the running game.
Do you take a page out of Emporia State's playbook a little bit whenever you see them come out and throw for about almost 450 yards? Marshall was 30 of 36 passing, found some ways to be efficient with the football and get the ball downfield.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some similarities with the skill positions between Emporia State and ourselves. I think we distribute the ball out on the perimeter well, and that's what Emporia does. At the same time, I think we feel like we have a little better running game than Emporia has, and we can take advantage of some things up front that maybe Emporia couldn't. So I think we're going to be more balanced than what Emporia was. But, you know, you've got to be careful about, you know, the nice thing about having a lot of formations is you can confuse the defense, but the bad thing about having a lot of formations is that if they do enough look stuff at you, you can confuse yourself. So there's going to be a little bit of a chess match between our offensive guys and their defensive staff as far as that's concerned. But, you know, I feel good about our game plan.
Second week in a row going on the road, but this time a little bit different, more of a traditional type of week where you get back to Saturday afternoon football.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it's been forever. It's been since, you know, the first week of August, because everything that we set up leading up towards this, you know, the NCAA required us in fall camp to have a mandatory day off, and that day off was Friday, and it in essence became our Sunday. You know, so all through camp and then the first 2 weeks of the season, that Friday was the Sunday. And well, I had everybody in the complex confused, and I had my wife and my kids confused on what day it was, because to me that day wasn't Friday, it was Sunday, and I kind of just built it in. So now that we're back on a normal schedule, I think everybody's excited.
Get a few more days off, or maybe one or two days off at least for the players after the Thursday night game coming to this week?
Yeah, we did. We gave them off. We gave them Friday completely off. You know, they came in and they watched film, and they also had Saturday off. Had a voluntary lift and watched a little bit of Kearney film on Sunday, and then gained an extra practice day on Monday. So that was kind of our schedule.
But did it come at a good time too, after you played such a physical team as Washburn?
Yeah, I do. You know, it gave our defensive linemen a chance to get healthy. You know, and that always helps. You know, to get those guys back. And you know, one nice thing is that, you know, we've had some injuries, and we've had a lot of them early in the season, but thankfully they've all been things, for the most part, that people can come back from. So it's just a matter of getting them healthy and get them going again. So anytime you get a couple extra days, that's always great.
Also want to ask you about your football playing guest that we have tonight, Cole Forney, coming up after you here in a moment. What's it like seeing him get back out on the field, and what's he bring to the table, especially a guy that knew he wouldn't be active for the first couple weeks, but still voted a captain?
You know, it was, it's just one of those really neat stories. You know, I was there right after it happened, and to watch the progress that kid's made. You know, I said it in a press conference a couple weeks ago, but it's really more than anything a testament to the human spirit. You know, what that kid's been through and what that kid's endured, and was told that there was no way, you know, that it was never going to happen again. And, you know, just believing in yourself and being focused and determined. And for him to make it all the way back to this point, you know, is a win for everybody. You know, and it just shows what a lot of hard work and grit and determination can do. And the kid is, you know, I think for him the win is just to get out there and play. And he wants to go back out and play at a high level, and he's got a lot of expectations of himself. And you know, just to watch him over the course of camp go from, you know, going in one practice and getting done with the first practice, and boy, I thought he was, you know, he's, oh my gosh, I'm so sore, you know, and just watching him progress now, you know, it's just been nothing short of a miracle. And we're all really proud of him. We're all rooting for him, and I can't wait to get him back out there on the field.
One final question for you before we let you go. Packing wise, are you packed for this weekend's trip?
Wow, yeah, I'm gonna try and make sure I pack my bag this week and not have to do things with the Tri-State guys. The nice part is I'm staying overnight, so hopefully I'll identify that I don't have my stuff before kickoff this week. But yeah, my wife Tucker Peavy, who's our equipment guy, does an awesome job, and after the game, I got home. The first thing my wife said to me was, maybe you should, because we have a 12th man that we always pack for the players because invariably they always forget something. She's like, maybe Tucker ought to pack a 12th man for you and, you know, at least have some sweats and a baseball hat for you if you forget your stuff. And I guess I have to pay attention to my own words and make sure I take care of the details this week.
You might explain for those that maybe missed their postgame on Thursday night the whole story about...
Sure. I love to tell stories. So, I had a bunch of brand new defensive linemen that were playing for the first time, and I was going to make sure I had those guys right. We were going to go down there in Washburn, and we were going to execute really well. So we had literally 5 walkthroughs on Friday, it would have been Wednesday, and then game day Thursday, we left here on Thursday rather than spending the night because it was a night game. And I got up that morning and I had 2 walkthroughs with the defensive line, and I went to pregame and I went back outside and had another walkthrough with the defensive line, and I went upstairs and grabbed my shoulder bag and I jumped on the bus and away we went. And we went to the Legends and we had lunch and I had another walkthrough with the defensive line, and then we got to the stadium and I stood up, and I always carry my bag. I don't put my bag underneath. I put it up top with me, and I stood up and I was like, holy cow. All I got here is a shoulder bag, and I'm in shorts and flip-flops, cause, like I am right now. I'm pretty superstitious, and this is what I wear. I had no clothes. And I knew exactly where they were. They were locked in my truck, and all the keys were with me. There were no keys anywhere. So I called the guys at Tri-State, and it was Steven and Kenny jumped in a truck and came down, and... were able to get my truck unlocked and set alarms off all over the place and had the track team on high alert. And Amy Floor picked up my bags and actually delivered them to the game. And up until that point, I had borrowed a pair of sweatpants from a graduate assistant, a pair of shoes from Jack Richards, and borrowed Nick Hess's red hat. And by the third play of the game, I turned around and Tucker had my bag sitting in front of me. So I grabbed my red hat and grabbed a lanyard. And, I put on my black shoes and grabbed a Buckeye, and then I was good to go.
All right, Ritz, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll talk to you before the game on Saturday.
Sounds great.
Okay, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And we'll come back and talk with Cole Forney off the Bearcat team. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at NVB.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into the Bearcat Coaches Show here from Carson's Sports Grill. I'm Matt Tritt, now being joined by Northwest Missouri State senior linebacker Cole Forney. Cole, appreciate you coming on the show and chat with us tonight.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
2-0, start to the season, not too bad. Walk us through those first 2 weeks of the Thursday night ball games. Not that normal Saturday afternoon feel like John was talking about a minute ago, but getting the team up and ready for a Thursday night and then kind of 2 completely different ball games with team running away with it against Emporia State and grinding one out next Thursday.
Yeah, we've kind of got used to the Thursday night games just over the past 2 years. We've had to have that schedule. of playing those first two Thursday games, and you kind of get used to it. But I personally like the Saturday schedule a lot better. It's just Fridays are easier and everything. You're right with the two different teams. Poirier's going to spread you out, try and get you out of position, hit quick slants and stuff. Washburn's going to line up in 21, 12 personnel and try and run right down the middle. So it's good to get that variety in early. Then you see everything. And another team this week's going to give us even more variety. So we're kind of seeing it all early, and that'll definitely help us down the road, I think.
Those Thursday night ball games, especially playing at Bearcat Stadium, for some of the younger guys that don't have much experience maybe, does that give them a taste of a playoff atmosphere well before we get to November, December?
Oh, for sure. Especially week one, you know, everyone comes out to the Bearcat Stadium loud. We did, like you said, we had a lot of inexperienced guys playing then. That was a good experience for them. Hopefully if we make a run later on, they'll see that again.
Looking at Washburn and then even ahead to UNK, you mentioned a team that kind of wants to run the ball and grind you out there. Then Coach mentioned UNK come out with a little bit of option as well. Historically, going back to the Scott Boswick years and now even into Rich Wright years, going against the run, Northwest Missouri State defense is arguably best in the nation every year. When you see a team like that on film, you feel pretty good going forward that Coach Wright's going to have you prepared.
Yeah, Coach does a great job of putting us in position from a leverage standpoint. All we have to do is go be physical and execute our job. And like you said, we take pride in stopping the run. That's always our first priority. If you can stop someone's run game, make them one-dimensional, and let our good pass rushers do what they do best, it makes everybody else's job a lot easier.
We spoke a lot through the first couple weeks of the season about this defensive line and the youth and how they've played well. But give me the linebacker's perspective as well. There's a couple guys that that have some experience in there. Of course, Nick Hess got quite a few starts last year as well. But you see some guys that we haven't seen get those starts come out, play at a high level so far. Well, how do you evaluate the linebacking room so far?
Just reloading. I mean, people haven't really heard of Ben Altoff, but that dude, he's a freak athlete. I mean, he can... You watch the Washburn game, he's running all over the field. I mean, I don't know how he did it. He had to be getting tired. But like you said, Nick Hess got a lot of experience last year. I think he's came a long way, too. His hands have improved a lot at the line of scrimmage. Jake Brinkman, he's a new transfer. He's a really good athlete also. He's still getting the hang of how we do things on defense. But his athleticism right now makes up for a lot of things, and he's going to be really good for us down the road.
And everybody looks at Jacob Olstad, an All-American from last year, graduating, moving on. And Bearcat fans have questions on the outside, but are you guys pretty confident about reloading once this year got here that you wouldn't have Jacob flying sideline to sideline, but he'd be just fine?
Yeah. I mean, you always miss a guy like Jacob. He's like being a freak athlete. He can just run all the time. But Joe Quinlan does a great job in the weight room with building guys up for a couple of years, so when it's their time to come, they're ready to be at a Jake and a Ben Altoff level where they can just go all the time.
Walk me through a little bit. Obviously, this offseason, from back in January, a car accident, some serious injuries there, but you battled through all that. You told you're not going to play football again. You're right back on the Bearcat sideline. You're working your way up. What was it like the first time you suit up, you put the pads on, and you knew that you're going to be back on the field?
That first practice was kind of, I mean, it was nervous, but at the same time, it's kind of like I had just had to go. Like, I couldn't think of, you can't, when you're out there, you can't think about the injuries and stuff. You just got to go. And it's kind of funny, my body just, like, naturally takes over. Like, if someone, my left arm was in pretty bad shape when we first started practice, and I do what, like, whatever I'd have to do to avoid getting hit by that arm. But a human body, it's an amazing thing. If you push yourself, you can get a lot of things done, a lot of things achieved.
Was it some of the mental hurdles were tougher than the physical hurdles at times?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially when rehab, I mean, sometimes stuff really hurts, but you just got to keep pushing. I mean, if you can't push through pain, then it's never going to get any better, you know. Like, getting the motion back in my arm, I just had to sit there and bend it, and it'd be, I mean, it put me in so much pain, it almost put me in tears, but if I don't do it, then I'm not going to get that flexion back, you know. It's just some stuff you got to push through.
So be able to come out and be named a captain by your peers there, that should be feel pretty cool knowing that, you know, your football playing career is a little bit of jeopardy, but your team's right there by your side, and you're still looked at as a leader week in, week out.
Yeah. I mean, that was just, it was an unreal experience when they named me captain just because I mean, I hadn't been there all spring, whatever, but it felt good that I feel like they respected the work I've been putting in, even though it wasn't on the field with them, that they knew I was just working my tail off to come back and join them.
Now the chance to get to suit up against Nebraska Kearney this week, test the waters, playing some special teams. Tell me about the feeling. What's it like? What's it like preparing to be able to go back in the battle once again?
I can't wait. It's been a long time being out last year. First couple games this year, I'm just ready to be on the field again. Help the team anyway.
You have to rein the emotions in a little bit instead of flying down, you know, sticking to your assignment, not getting out of your lane.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, once you get in there, you got to throw all that aside, and it's just about doing your job, whatever's best for the team. Everybody's got their job to do, and that's what you got to do.
Do you like the fact that your first game action gets to come on the road as opposed to the overwhelmingness of what it might be like being in Maryville Bearcat Stadium?
I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. Just whenever they would let me play, I tried to let them convince me to play week one. We ended up just pushing it back a couple weeks. So whenever they let me play, I'll do it. It doesn't matter, home, away for me.
Cole, we appreciate your time and really excited to see you back out in the field.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That's Cole Forney, in Northwest Missouri State senior captain and Maryville native, suiting up for his first action of the season coming up this Saturday at Nebraska Kearney. We'll take a quick break and wrap up the Bearcat Coaches Show here from Carson's Sports Grill.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Home by Sonia at 103 South Main in Maryville. Home by Sonia provides full-service interior styling along with custom window coverings, flooring, furniture, and more. Information is available online at homebysonia.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. Learn more at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show with Matt Trent, and I'm John Coffey. And Matt, before we send things off for another show here, we need to say hi to a person who's in the crowd here. Good to see Bob Severson back with us here back in Maryville. And Bob, good to have you here, and hope you get well quick. And now we've got football coming up this weekend, Bearcats and Nebraska Kearney down over in Kearney, 2 o'clock kickoff. That'll be a heck of a matchup.
Looking forward to it. And Bearcats obviously coming off a tough win against Washburn, while UNK kind of got beat up by Emporia State. So it'll be interesting to see how the Lopers respond on their home field. And, man, the Bearcats back-to-back road games, so it'll be nice to get this one out of the way, then see them come back home for family weekend.
Again, at 2 o'clock kickoff, we'll have the broadcast beginning at 1 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day on Saturday from Kearney, Nebraska. Thanks to everyone who helped with our broadcast tonight, to Ryan Elliott, along with Jenny James, and behind the scenes helping make things work here. For Matt Trent, and I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.